The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm your host, Jason Lee, joined by my co-host, Zeke Smith.
What's up, buddy?
Glad to have you today. And we are joined by Chris, is it pronounced Franzen?
Franzen.
Franzen, fantastic. The Vice President, Sales and Operations of Broussard Logistics, a local organization here in Houston, been around for how many years now?
Since 1978.
Wow, 1978. That's 1 year before me. That's pretty old. So, yeah. Now, I want to really, first of all, before we dive in, Chris, we're going to talk about freight optimization, logistics, supply chain. That's just been your gig for years, and I think you have a pretty cool story. We love hearing from industry professionals that have really worked their way through their experience. You know, they didn't come from the outside. They've been in this, and it sounds like you've been in it for a minute. So why don't you take a moment and just tell us a little bit about your background.
All right, yeah, great. So I started out in the industry working for a less-than-truckload carrier called Roadway Express. I started as low as you could be. I was a dock worker. I was a Teamster. And putting my way through school, and as a result of finishing school, I was invited to go into a management training program and held different positions in management, from being a dock supervisor all the way to being an operations manager to running my own facility. So the largest facility I ran was about 400 associates. So I did about $25 million, $28 million in revenue a year at that one facility. So it gave me a lot of experience, spent some time in sales as well. So made me pretty well-rounded as far as our industry from a pricing perspective and freight execution perspective.
And then a little bit about the organization. I mean, you guys, I think you shared a little bit about where you guys started, and why don't you tell us something about that?
Yeah, so our founder, Paul Broussard, started the organization. He has a railroad background and was getting moved all over the country and decided to start his own company. And we started out as a freight bill consulting group for auditing and paying freight invoices. So we're big organizations, may not have the expertise to compare their actual contract against the actual invoice that comes in. So we started out auditing and paying invoices. Today, we process close to about $1 billion worth of transportation-related invoices a year.
Wow. Jeez.
So it gives us a lot of strategic information about what different shippers are doing all across the country. So even though we're based here in Houston, I'd say probably 65-70% of our client base is outside of Texas.
Wow. So. Wow. And then you from that, you turned into what? I mean, it's branched out into a number of things, correct?
Yeah. So really, we used that strategic information that we had in auditing and paying those bills. As we audit and pay those bills, I get to look at all those different contracts from all those different shippers. And many of them are private contracts with the carriers. So it gave us a huge amount of strategic information to go, okay, we're auditing your bill, which is a very passive function. You know, it happens after the transportation transaction's been completed. Most people hire us for that just from a reporting perspective, because their current ERP system, whether it be Oracle, SAP, whatever, doesn't give them a lot of information for their logistics team to use.
Wow.
And so, but the other thing it doesn't give them is, hey, how good is this pricing in relation to other shippers in the marketplace? So it gives us a lot of consulting opportunities to help people understand, hey, you're overpaying by anywhere from 10 to 30% for transportation rates based upon your size, your distribution footprint, commodities you ship, and stuff like that.
Wow. So now, I guess that's a great way to jump into the first topic of our conversation, is because especially in today's climate where everybody's looking at ways to try to impact the bottom line, because we're probably heading towards some headstorms that are going to be maybe pretty rough over the next couple of years. And so with that being the case, talk to us a little bit about lowering the cost, some of the things that you guys see that could help lower costs and improve performance.
Yeah, so most of our focus is on the less-than-truckload side and the parcel side, which would be your FedEx, UPS. There is some regional players out there in that marketplace, but where we're seeing most of the opportunities is we're seeing these carriers take some of the largest increases, pricing increases in history. As an example, FedEx and UPS this last year took the largest increase to their customer base, or gave the largest increase to their customer base in the last 30 years. It was 5.9% average, but what we saw was, with our client base, an impact of somewhere closer to 9 to 11% higher costs. Well, they're reporting some of the highest profits that they ever have in their life.
Wow. Sure.
So there's these components of their contract that are very complex. And so most distributors, whether it be shippers of manufacturers, distributors, e-com companies, retail, don't have the tools that break down those pricing into all of its different elements, nor do they understand, in many cases, what the carrier's profit is on their freight. And so those salespeople are incentivized to go out and sell transportation at the highest possible margin they can. Right. But the only person that understands what type of margin is in place is the carrier themselves, because they're the only ones with the tools to break down the data into all those little unique pricing components. If you look at, as an example, FedEx and UPS, they their service guide, which is a breakdown of all their different things they can charge you for, is 130 pages long.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, it's closer to 100 to 130 pages. It's very long. So
intentionally, right? Intentionally long. Yeah. You don't read it all, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you're not negotiating all those points. So they'll give you really good concessions in areas you don't use their service.
Right.
And then they give you bad concessions in areas that you have a lot of use in. And then, especially on that side of the business, it's extremely impactful because there's mainly two nationwide carriers. That's right. It. So it's a duopoly, and so they work very lockstep in with each other. Oh, yeah. Each year. Their pricing increases are the same almost every year. There's some nuanced differences, but it's intriguing when you look at it. And then they also place the confidentiality restrictions in their contracts, to where they can't go talk to consultants and they can't go talk to people that can help them benchmark their rates. So they're very tied in, and then everything's volume incentivized. So if they did want to use some of the regional players like Lone Star Overnight here in Texas, they're not able to, because if they take that volume away from FedEx or UPS, their discounts get worse.
Oh, wow.
So,
God. So it feels a lot like, I don't know.
Do you want your Amazon packages to show up tomorrow?
I'm going to be quiet. Like Chris, my package. Right. Yeah, you do your thing.
I want mine left in the porch, not thrown over the fence, you know, for once. Just
absolutely.
So,
what, they got a bunch of divorce lawyers running the place? Yeah. Jeez Louise. It's crazy.
So Chris, with the pricing and the complexity of the contracts, like you mentioned, obviously from a customer standpoint, you want to be efficient with your supply chain logistics. So talk about that. What are some strategies that customers, companies can use to maximize their efficiency? Obviously, supply chain is a huge buzzword over the last 18, 24, 36 months coming out of the pandemic era. So give us some of your expertise on how customers or folks can, companies can maximize efficiency on their shipping logistics.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we see, especially in this marketplace with the oil field and stuff, is a very decentralized purchasing of transportation services. You've got locations that are doing their own thing. There might be corporate policy, but at the end of the day, those individual locations are responsible for their own P&L. So they're going to use who they're comfortable with, even if they're overpaying it. The other thing that we see is you've got the outbound shipping operation is using one set of carriers. On the other side of it, the purchasing side, they're using a different set of carriers to bring raw materials in.
Right.
So using those economies of scale within the organization itself is the first step that I see that a lot of people should use. And then even in the purchasing terms, they're taking and they're letting the vendor dictate the routing into them. And they're doing a prepay and add, which means they're taking, here's your bill for the cost of goods, and then we're adding a transportation charge. And as long as they call it shipping and handling charges, they can mark it up as much as they want. So, and then they lose visibility to what some of those expenses are, because it's wrapped up in one vendor bill instead of a transportation-related invoice. Mm.
So what can they do about that? Just challenge that, push back a little bit? Or are there customers that, or I'm sorry, are there vendors that do it a little differently? How do we... I don't want to say combat it like it's a bad thing, but how do we keep an eye on that as a company?
Yeah, a lot of organizations don't understand how much they're actually paying for in transportation. Sure. So it's getting the visibility to it first, right? From there, the purchasing terms, I mean, is just reaching out as their purchasing team gets with each one of their vendors to purchase materials, especially if it's an LTL or parcel quantity, is, hey, what's my cost delivered? And what's my cost where if I have it picked up at your location and have it brought into me? And then price it out against the pricing that you have with your own carrier contracts. And where that's really going to help you, especially on the parcel side where it's volume incentivized, is you're bringing your volume up so your discounts could actually get better.
So not just breezing by it like just the cost of doing business, just spend a little extra time, take a look at things, and it should help out.
Okay. Yeah. And a big piece of that is they don't have technology at their fingertips. Their purchasing team doesn't know how to go in and get a rate for LTL or parcel transportation.
Right.
And if they do, it's a very defragmented way where they might be going on to five different carriers' websites. It's almost like if you went in the airline industry, if you went to Southwest, then you went to United, then you went to Delta, where if you had an aggregator, so to speak, from a transportation management software perspective, then which we provide all of our clients with a proprietary one that we've built ourselves, they're able to rate shop 10 different carriers, five different carriers, however many carriers they have. That's awesome. As vendors.
You just answered my question. I was literally in my head going, well, why hasn't somebody created it? So that's essentially where you guys come beside people.
Yeah, if you look at
that resource.
Okay. Yeah, we'll integrate it with their ERP system.
Oh, wow.
To where that way, especially on the outbound side, as they're creating sales orders, we can actually rate shop it, and we can route it either least cost or quickest transit for them, and then report that information directly back to their finance department and accounting department to where they can actually bill out for the transportation charges. A lot of times they used to wait for that freight bill to actually come all the way into their accounting department before they'd bill for it. Well, we're able to help them with their accounts receivable cycle time, reduce that amount, and have a little bit better cash flow as well, too. So, wow.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we didn't plan for this part of the discussion, but I think it'd be relevant to ask because it sounds like there's a lot of technology behind the scenes making these things happen. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on AI when it comes to this type? Because there's so many moving parts. Are you guys thinking in terms of that for the future and how that works, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I think AI has, especially from a where future bottlenecks might occur, I think would there's a use for that. I think from a pricing perspective, there's been some of our competition out there that has marketed themselves as having AI that will help them optimize people's contracts and give them valuable insights into those pricing agreements. But from the perspective of really understanding what the carriers are giving at any given moment, it takes very contemporary knowledge. And, you know, I wish I knew a little bit more about AI from
right.
that perspective and what the impact could be. We're actually going through a complete rebuild of our system right now. And AI was a thought, but we didn't even the cost surrounding it for a proprietary system to give away to folks just was not feasible for
us. Understood. Yeah. And I think when it comes to AI today, I'm asking the question to a lot of folks because it's all brand new. Some people are saying I see this, and then other people are saying we haven't really figured it out yet, and it hasn't cracked the surface. So we know it's coming. We just don't know where and at what level. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When the new model TV comes out, you let it sit for a little while, price comes down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's always the way it goes. Yeah. So
last thing when it comes to we probably should pivot as we kind of get ready to end the show. But the one thing that I would say is, you've obviously had some experience. You've been across multiple places in the industry. Perhaps you could share a little bit about some of the factors that have contributed to your success.
Yeah, I think for me, it was starting at the very bottom, having to move boxes and drive a forklift myself and then work my way into a management position. I think that was extremely helpful. I think working on the consulting side made me much more well-rounded at the end of the day from the perspective of I get to talk to all these different manufacturers, distributors. I get to learn a lot about how they do business. So it's maybe a bit better businessman as well.
Right.
So not just from a supply chain and logistics perspective. And one of the things that we find super fascinating and exciting about our job is as I go into another company and I see some of the issues they're having, I've probably have some case study from another client that was having the exact same struggles as. So we're able to come in, make recommendations really at a pro bono level at that point and say, hey, have you thought about doing it this way?
Nice.
So
it's very feel, felt, found technique,
yeah.
Right? Sales, that's great, yeah. Plus your experience wrapped in there, it's good.
Yeah, and so part of that too is we do a no obligation, no cost assessment for people, for them to understand, where their pricing relates to some of their competitors in the marketplace, or at least a shipper that has a very similar distribution pattern. So, we're able to understand and show them, because many times, I'd say 2 out of 10 times, we'll talk to a shipper, they'll give us invoice data, we'll look at it, and they're already at a best in class. So, their rates are as good as they can be. But 8 out of 10 times, we are finding that it's not.
Right.
So that there is room for improvement. So.
I think I appreciate the fact you guys are bringing more transparency to this, that, again, folks just consider it a price of doing business. And mm-hmm. it's like, there's some money to be saved here mm-hmm. if you just do it the right way and spend a little bit more time, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit more intentional time on it.
Well, you know, what's interesting is at a micro level, I mean, because I just did this process, but every year I'm annual, I'm looking at my insurance rates and everything that comes mm-hmm. across my home. And it, for probably the first 10 years of my life before I got wise, I would just be like, well, my rates went up. That's the cost of doing business. You know, it just went up. Now when my rate goes up, I call my insurance guy immediately and I say, hey, we need to shop, like right now.
Right.
And because he's not going to do it. Right. and by the way, he's fantastic. David, if you're listening, you're amazing. I know you're a busy guy. But the reality is business owners are out there running and gunning. They're not stopping to go, well, you should probably evaluate this at a micro level. But when you do it and you scale it across your entire business mm-hmm. with all that stuff, every little dollar counts. And it sounds like you guys are making a massive impact there.
We're trying to, and yeah. we've been real successful at doing it. So,
when you say real successful, just so we can kind of get a gauge of what real successful looks or feels like for the audience, those that are listening that maybe are thinking, man, I should probably investigate that. What does a success story look like?
Yeah, so I think for us, what we look for in success is not necessarily even hard dollar savings, right? And in many cases, that's our lead to get into the door, right? That we find that there's some actual money that is being left on the table that justifies a return on investment for our client.
Sure.
You know, and for us, we typically work off of what's called a gain share model. So I don't even charge any money unless I save them money.
Nice. Okay.
So it's a self-funded program. We're not going to charge you $200,000 to help improve your contracts. I've got to provide a benefit first.
Wow.
But I think what most people find, if you're familiar with a NPS survey, Net Promoter Score survey,
oh, yeah.
We ranked very high in that. And one of the things that we found most interesting was it was the soft dollar savings that was most people found the benefit in. It wasn't, you know, there was a company that I was saving $800,000 a year for on a $3 million spend. And they said the biggest benefit of working with us was the time savings for their people with our technology, the outsourcing of auditing, paying the freight invoices. So the $800,000 was a minuscule number to them.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Really, and you're making life better for the employees, for the team, for the people, and impacting.
Hard to put a dollar figure to that.
Yeah. Right?
Because happier employees, more time savings, more efficiency is great. Great job.
Zeke, anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah, just as we wrap up, any people or things in your career that you want to, you know, we just give our guests a chance to express any gratitude. Certainly, you've expressed the benefits of starting from the bottom and working your way to where you are today, successful mm-hmm. professional, but always like to give you guys a platform to express any gratitude you'd like to.
No, I appreciate that. So, you know, I'd certainly like to show a lot of gratitude to the Broussard family. You know, I think one of the things that I enjoy about where we work is that while we're in business to make money and make profits, we first look to provide value to our clients. And it's hard to find organizations, especially with all the PE backing that's out there now and everything else, where it's not just about profit. So we kind of look at it almost like exercising. And exercising, if you focus on the behaviors, you're going to lose the weight. So if we focus on providing value, the profit dollars will be there. So it's great working for an organization that's got that customer focus with the value first.
Fantastic.
So, awesome.
So for our audience, you know, our shows range across the board. There are certain shows you listen to gather or garner information just to get some insight. They're really like 30,000-foot views. This is more of a tactical show, like meaning you've shared some great information for a business owner. If they're listening to this and they use freight transportation, that's part of their business, which might be a piece of our business considering we're the Economic Alliance Houston port region. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's probably some people that ship things listening to this. So with that being said, might be a few.
Make goods and move goods.
Yeah, That's what we do. So this to me has felt a lot like a really good tactical discussion, something that somebody can take and say, I probably need to maybe move to action from here. And so if they wanted to move to action, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, so number one, our website, www.broussardlogistics.com, is a great way. There's forms to fill out for different services. So the other thing to do is to reach out to us directly. We have live people answering our phone, so you won't be passed to an operator or some voice system. And the phone number to reach our office directly is 713 713- 921-2480.
Okay, perfect. Fantastic. And so, again, and for Chris, you did a fantastic job today. Again, what Thank a great you. Story. Inspirational to hear a guy that was working on the docks and then now making $800 million impacts inside of organizations. What a great story. And I want to thank our audience. We're full of great stories all the time, and we just like this, we would love for you to consistently tune in and help us share those stories. As a reminder, you can always tune into our shows through the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website, and go to there, and then go under media and just subscribe. Once you subscribe under the media tab, you can get these podcasts at any of your favorite channels. Spotify, YouTube is where a lot of people tune in, and then you can also reach out to Zeke and myself on LinkedIn. Get plugged into us. If you have any recommendations on people you want to have join us on the show, we'd love to hear from you. And as always, stay tuned in. Zeke, thanks for being
Thank
a part
you.
Of it.
Yeah, thanks for
yeah, thanks for inviting
Glad
me.
Glad to have you, man.
You All bet, right, man.
See you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.